It started with a song.
Angels smoking cigarettes on rooftops in fishnets in the morning with the moon still glowing. And here comes Jesus in an Astro van rolling down the strip again. He's stoned while Jerry plays.
That's Astro Van by the band Mount Joy, which has racked up about 6 million streams since it was first released on Spotify in September 2016. This March, the band released its self-titled debut album. They've toured with big names like Nico Case, Head in the Heart, and The Shins. And NPR Music has called Mount Joy one of the best emerging bands of 2018. And as we're about to hear, their success epitomizes the way the music industry is changing in the age of streaming. Matt Quinn co-founded Mount Joy. He's lead singer and he plays the guitar. Matt, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And congratulations. It sounds like it's been quite a whirlwind for the last year or so for you.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. Wouldn't have expected that I would maybe even be touring musician right now, so a year ago.
Well, let's talk about that, because you, from what I'm hearing, you have this modern story. You and your bandmates were discovered on Spotify in part because of that song Astro Van. How did it happen?
Yeah, you know, Sam Cooper and I, who I went to high school with outside of Philadelphia, both sort of ended up in Los Angeles and were kind of after work writing songs, and we'd always played music our whole lives, but, you know, just sort of had fallen into day jobs. And you know, we decided we had a few songs, one of them being Astro Van, that we wanted to record, and it found its way to Spotify, and the success there was pretty immediate. I think we did like a million streams in the first month, and it was kind of like, okay, let's do this.
And did you expect that to happen when you put the songs out? Because there were four of them, right?
Yeah, so we started out just putting Astro Van out, and there was no expectation that that would happen. I was doing law school night classes. Sam was an attorney, I think, but yeah, it just took off on us.
So it used to be you get discovered, you get signed to a label, you make a record, you start touring, but you kind of did the whole thing backwards. I just wonder if you think that this is sort of the new normal in music, if we're going to start to see a lot more of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it requires a little bit of luck in terms of the song being discovered on that level. But I do think it's certainly now a viable way to start a music career. I think it's way more efficient than getting out there and because I did that, too. I went to school in Boston, played around town, and, you know, I had some fun, but certainly no success or anything that would have led to a career. So I think that's a really, really hard way to cut your teeth, and it's possible. But I think having these platforms is a much more efficient way to get heard.
Yeah. And what do you think it is about Astro Van, the song? I mean, I listen to it. I have some serious nostalgia. You know, I grew up in an era when the Astro Van played quite a role in a lot of people's lives.
It was a song sort of about a person. You know, I was just someone who was, you know, had always dreamed of being a musician, and I think it's sort of about following your dreams. And then, of course, the goofy line about Jesus driving an Astro Van, I think, catches people's attention.
Is it life ain't ever what it seems? These dreams are more than paper things. It's all right, mama, you're afraid I'll be poor along the way. But I don't want to see those tears again. You know, Jesus drives an Astro Van.
When we first started touring, we did a festival in Canada, and they said that we were going to play Astro Van and maybe one other song, and that we would be sharing the stage with a bunch of other musicians, which sounded really cool. And we got up there and realized that we were playing to a like gospel worship session in front of like 1,000 people. And none of us are, well, for the most part, we're not a particularly religious band, but we sort of realized halfway through that the songs that the other artists were playing were sort of faith-based songs, and that we had been kind of thrust up there because of Astro Van. It was hilarious to us, the whole thing.
Plus, when you're just starting out, like, that was 1,000 people who never probably had heard your name before.
Yeah, and, you know, they were very receptive, and it was great, but you're singing about Jesus smoking weed at a worship thing, and you're like, this, how did I get here?
When I see those angels on the roof, I know I've made it. When my doobie smoking Jesus puts my name upon his guest list.
Well, let's talk about another song that you released on Spotify. This is Sheep.
Blood owes me, I can fall asleep, cause it's rootless, and don't tell me you're rootless too.
Matt, you're right. There's blood on the streets of Baltimore. Of course, sounds like a reference to Freddie Gray, the black man who died in police custody in 2015. Is that right? What are you trying to say with this song?
Yeah, so I started writing that song, again, not being a touring musician or anything, just writing as sort of a release to a frustration from, you know, when that happened. And as it started to become an epidemic sort of all over our country, Mount Joy was sort of starting to write these other four songs, and so sort of kept adding to it, and it became this song that I think for us just encapsulates the frustration of whether it was the election or just in general the way our country and I think maybe even globally the treatment of minorities is just, I think it was just an extremely frustrating time. Specifically, that was right around the election. I think, you know, the sheep idea was just these people seem to be following this ideology of hate pretty blindly, and it was frustrating. So I think that's where that song came from.
I'm just wondering if, you know, as you wade into politics in your music, if you're worried at all that that could become alienating, or is that how you want people to see your music, that you're a band that is going to make it a point to weigh in on the politics of the moment?
Yeah, I think totally. I think, you know, I don't want someone necessarily to connect with our art that is like, you know, someone who is hateful or, you know, not even necessarily politically. I think what we're searching for is pretty simple stuff. Like, you know, we're trying to eradicate people who, for reasons of color of skin or something like that, would possibly hate someone. I think we just, if you're not a good person, I don't really want you to like my music. So.
Well, look, you're doing something similar with your song Silver Lining. It's all over the radio. It's been in the top 10 recently on the AAA charts. It's a song about drug overdoses.
Yeah.
Did the issue touch your life personally, or was it just something that you noticed happening around you?
Yeah, it touched my life personally. I had some friends that I went to high school with that passed away, but also just when that was happening, I had, you know, people around me, whether it was in school or friends who were going through similar things, and it just seemed it fully has become just an epidemic. But if it's the drugs, the women, the white, the weak, the love.
Well, we mentioned there were four original songs that you initially put out to the world on Spotify, and that eventually led to the album. But I want you to tell me about another song on the album that you sort of created after you made it and were recognized by people that epitomizes who you are and what it is that you're trying to do.
I think the song for me would probably be Bigfoot. It's just a song, you know, that we kind of in the beginning, it was just me and Sam, and then, you know, all this stuff happened, and we were tasked with, you know, putting together a band, and it was unclear, like, how exactly that would work, but we got really lucky right away and got, you know, an amazing group of musicians that have become, you know, really close, and I think that song sort of epitomizes the way we'll make music going forward. It was pretty democratic, and it really, I think, speaks to where we want to go as sort of being a band that can really put together a wide variety of different types of music.
What strikes me about your success is that it came so rapidly. You go from this Spotify uploader to performing at Bonnaroo to the Newport Folk Festival. You played on Conan earlier this year. Do you sometimes think that your fame came so fast that it could vanish just as easily?
Yeah, I think, you know, one, I certainly don't feel like we've, like, acquired fame. But I do think that everything we've accomplished could easily go away, and I think that that's kind of the challenge that we've always had from the beginning, where it was like, you know, you put up a song and it does really well, it's like, well, what will the next one do? You've got to bat 1,000 to be successful in the beginning. So I think I think every band sort of feels, or at least I would imagine, feels that pressure in the beginning to make sure everything you're putting out when people are paying attention is worthwhile. And in some ways, I think it's fair that if you're not, you'll kind of fall off.
Yeah. Matt Quinn is co-founder, vocalist, and guitarist of the band Mount Joy, which is making a name for itself. Matt, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Stay forever, hold pinches together, the mountains fall into the sea. If I built the frame that gave you my name, would you wander forever with me and drag?